around the written word and to fellowship with one another. Father, we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus that as the word is taught now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear. There is no confusion in any heart, but we enjoy the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, we give you praise, for we know it's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you can take your seat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, you're welcome to church. Okay. I know for a while now we've been looking at the subject of faithfulness, right? Okay. So this should be the seventh week, right? Okay. But for today, I just want us to look at something. Do you understand? So we'll resume that next week. But I just want us today to look at something, you know. Okay, this is my note here. Amen. It's all filled with information. Amen. You know, as touching the subject we are currently looking at, but I just want us to look at something else, okay? There's a direction the Lord will have us go today. So are you ready? Are you ready? Okay. So today I want to look at the laying on of hands. Hallelujah. The laying on of hands. What exactly is the laying on of hands? Amen. You know, depending on where you grew up, you know, you've probably heard very funny things concerning this concept, right? You know, I remember for me growing up, laying on of hands was called deliverance. Amen. So when you put your hand on someone, you are expecting that there's probably a demon inside that person, or, you know, probably a village person who is out to get that person. Amen. So you lay hands on that person. It's mostly mistaken with what we call rebuking evil spirits or casting out of demons. Amen. Now, obviously, with the ministry of laying on of hands, you can cast out a demon. Amen. But the ministry of the laying on of hands is not synonymous, okay, with casting out of demons. Hallelujah. So we just want to look around in, you know, and see what exactly is this phenomenon. Amen. Then we just flow. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Okay, Genesis chapter 48. Please turn your Bible there. Genesis chapter 48, verse 14. Genesis chapter 48, verse 14. It says, then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head. Are you seeing that? Israel there will be Jacob, okay? Okay. So he said, you know, his name was changed, right? Later changed to Israel. So he says, he laid his hands on Ephraim's head, who was the younger. Are you seeing that? And his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. Okay, so we see Jacob here, you know, putting his hands on Ephraim and Manasseh. Those were Joseph's sons, okay? And you know, he carried such a significance. Now observe what Jacob did here. You know, he put his right hand on the head of the younger. Are you seeing this? And the left hand, he put it on the head of he put the right hand on the head of the younger, then the left hand put it on the head of the older. I know, being Jews, okay, they understood what exactly was going on. Because the right hand, okay, in the Jewish custom was, we can say, the place of authority. Amen? The place of power. So putting it on the younger son is like saying, I take what is supposed to be meant for the other one, right? And I give it to the younger one. Do you understand? You know, it's very interesting because that has gone on in their lineage for quite some time. Do you observe? You know, and Jacob is doing the same thing here. Hallelujah. Now, but you observe something in verse 17 of the same chapter. It says, now when Joseph saw that his father laid his hand, his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. Do you see that? Because he understood what that meant, right? So he took hold of his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. Are you seeing that? And Joseph said to his father, not so, my father, for this one is the firstborn, but your right hand is on his head. Abi, pardon me, put your right hand on his head. Do you see that? But of course, in verse 19, Jacob said, but But his father refused and said, I know my son, I know. He shall become a people and he shall also be great, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he. Are you seeing that? And his descendants shall become a multitude of nations. Hallelujah. Now you observe that in verse 15 and verse 16, when Jacob laid his hands on the head of these two brothers, you see what he did? He actually said their future. Are you seeing that? You know, he actually prophesied their entire lifetime just by this ministry of laying on of hands. Are you seeing how important it is? Come on, are you seeing how important it is? Okay, now look at Numbers 27. Quickly, Numbers chapter 27, verse 18. Numbers 27, verse 18. Are you there? It says, and the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the Spirit. You see that? Okay, and lay your hand on him. Now, of course, Moses was going to die soon, right? And there needed to be another person who would take over from him in leadership, okay? So, he's instructed by the Lord to lay his hands on Joshua. Hallelujah. He says, in whom is the Spirit? Now, that phrase, in whom is the Spirit, can be a bit confusing. Because it seems like in Joshua was the Spirit, right? You know, a new creation reality. You know, the indwelling of the Spirit is only reserved for the New Testament. I hope you know that. You know, John 7, 37 down to 39, okay? It talks about how Jesus stood up on the great day of the feast and cried out, saying, does anyone thirst? Let him come to me and drink, okay? It says, for as the scripture has said, out of his belly, right? Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. I know, he said, and John explained for us, he said that this he spoke concerning the Spirit, right? He said, for the Spirit was not yet given. Why? Because Jesus was not yet glorified. Amen? So, the Spirit would be given, okay, to indwell men when Jesus dies, he is buried, he is raised from the dead, then he is exalted. Are you following this? Okay? So, under the Old Testament portion of the Bible, the Spirit of God was there. Do you understand? From Genesis to Malachi, the Spirit of God was there. But he was, I can say it this way, he was working amongst God's people. Okay? He was working on God's people. Okay? He was working in the midst of God's people, but he never worked in any of God's people. Okay? That indwelling of the Spirit will be a reality of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Are you following this? Okay? So, the Spirit would be given when Jesus is glorified. So, obviously here, you know, we have a problem. Because it says, in whom, right, is the Spirit. Now, I want you to observe that this phrase, in whom is the Spirit, was always used in the Old Testament portion of the Bible to refer to a choice. Okay? It's not literal. It's not saying that in whom is the Spirit, you know, Joshua, that means the Spirit of God is living in Joshua. No. He's saying that I have chosen Joshua. Are you following this? Most times in the Old Testament portion of the Bible, you see that used frequently, okay? When God picks a man, okay? Or when God, either a prophet or a king or, you know, whatever, an office or a priest, you know, it always refers to that person as someone in whom is the Spirit, okay? You know, I think in Exodus, there is a particular man who was very skilled in, you know, when they were building the tabernacle, he was very skilled in tapestry, all of that, and then he refers to him as one in whom was the Spirit, okay? That simply shows choice, that is, I've chosen this one to be in charge of the decoration, the building of the tabernacle, okay? But the Spirit of God never dwelt in them. Is that clear? Okay. Now, look at verse 23 of the same chapter. Numbers 27, verse 23. He says, and he laid his hands on him. That would be Moses, right? Okay, Moses laid his hands on Joshua, okay? And inaugurated him, just as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. Now, what was the result of this laying on of hands? Look at Deuteronomy 34. Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. Deuteronomy 34 verse 9. It says, now, do you see that? What was that? Now, okay, underline that in your Bible, okay? Now, Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the Spirit of wisdom for, underline that. Do you see that? Why was he filled with the Spirit of wisdom? For Moses had what? Laid his hands on him. Do you see that? So there was a noun and there was a for. Are you seeing that? There was something that happened immediately hands were laid that was not there before. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing that? Okay? He says, so the children of Israel heeded him. Do you see that? Okay? So something started happening in Joshua's ministry that had never happened before. Are you seeing that? Okay? And did as the Lord had commanded him. So he was now filled with the spirit of wisdom and he had the obedience of the people of Israel. Hallelujah. I seen this. So when Moses laid hands on Joshua, can we say that there was a supernatural enabling on Joshua? Right? Okay, thank you. Now, you will see that this culture of laying hands on others, okay, is a custom among God's people. You observe that Jesus, okay, our Lord Jesus, also ministered to people this way. Look at Matthew 19. Matthew chapter 19, verse 13. Matthew 19, verse 13. He says, then little children were brought to him, there is Jesus, that he might put his hands on them. Do you see that? Okay. You know, they were Jews, right? So they understood that custom, right? Okay. Thank you very much. And pray. And the disciples rebuked them. Verse 14. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 15. And he laid his hands on them. Do you see that? Okay. And departed from them. Look at Mark 10. You see something similar like that there. Mark 10 verse 13. Mark 10 verse 13. Hallelujah. It says, then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Verse 15, assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, can we say innocence? Okay, will by no means enter it. Verse 16, and he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them. Do you see that again? And blessed them. Okay, so Jesus had a culture or custom, okay, of laying hands on others to bless them. Are you seeing this? Are you seeing this? Look at Luke chapter 24, verse 50. Luke chapter 24, verse 50. Now, let me ask you a question briefly. Did Jesus eat with that hand? Huh? Did Jesus eat with that hand? The hands he used to lay hands. Okay? Did he use it to drive? There were no cars back then. Did he use it in the toilet? Yes! Amen? But once he laid his hands on them, okay, in this ministry we are referring to here, something changed. Are you following this? Okay, it was no longer hands anymore. It was no longer fingers. There was something supernatural about that laying. It's not just, you know, with these hands you can slap someone. Do you understand? With these hands you can knock somebody's head. With these hands. But with these same hands you can bless somebody. Are you following this? Okay, please just follow closely. Look at Luke 24 verse 15. It says, and he led him as far as Bethany and lifted up his hands. You see that again? Okay, and blessed them. So you see that ministry again. And now it came to pass, well, he blessed them, that it was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Do you see that? So he blessed his disciples via the ministry of the laying on of hands. Look at Luke 14. Pardon me. Luke 4, verse 40. Luke 4, verse 40. He says, when the sun was setting, that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on them. Do you see that? On every one of them. And what? Heal them. Hallelujah. So Jesus healed the sick by the laying on of hands. Are you seeing that? Look at Luke 13 verse 10. Luke 13 verse 10. It says, now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. We are in verse 11 now. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. Do you see that? And was bent over and could in no way rise herself up. Can you imagine? Now verse 12 says, and when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loose from your infirmity. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And what did he do? He laid his hands on her. Hallelujah. And immediately she was made straight. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And glorified God. So again, you see, he healed the sick, right? Through the ministry of the laying on of hands. Look at Mark chapter 8, verse 22. Mark chapter 8, verse 22. He says, then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him, and begged him to touch him. Verse 23. So he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. Follow closely, okay? And when he had spit on his eyes, and what? And what? Put his hands on him. Do you see that? He asked him if he saw anything. Verse 24. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Verse 25. Then he put his hands on his eyes again. Do you see that? And made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Hallelujah. Amen. So Jesus laid hands, you know, he spat on the ground and put, you know, the spittle on his eye. Amen. Then he laid hands. So some will ask, what healed him? Amen. What healed him? Was it the spit or the hands? Well, either of the two, amen. The spit was applied and hands were laid. Hallelujah. You can even ask, what did he use to put the spit there? Was the hands, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Are you seeing that? So hands were laid, right? Okay. Now, we've seen in the Old Testament, right? We've seen Jesus, right? So the question now is, what about the believer? Okay? What about the believer? What happens to our hands as well? Okay? Now, like I told you when we started this teaching, I said that in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God was never indwelling any person. Okay? Think of all the great men in the Old Testament. Look at Abraham. Look at Isaac. Look at Jacob. Look at Moses. Amen? Look at David, the great men of the Old Testament, what we call the patriarchs. Okay? The saints. The Spirit of God never dwelt in any of them. Hallelujah. That was reserved for you. Amen? The indwelling of the Spirit was reserved for who? For the believer. So in the Old Testament, what would happen was that the Spirit of Christ would come, okay, rest upon someone for his office. Now, when he was done with that office, he would leave. Do you understand? So it would come upon, leave, never indwelled, okay? But for us, that Spirit never leaves. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing that? In the New Testament, the Spirit, his power and his enablings will last forever. Hallelujah. Look at John chapter 14. Are you here so far? Okay, John chapter 14, verse 16. John chapter 14, verse 16. It says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. We looked at this, right? Okay, that he may abide with you for what? For what? For what? For what? Forever. Hallelujah. So how long will the Spirit last with you? Huh? When the Father comes to you in his Spirit, how long will that union be for? Forever. Are you seeing that? You know, the Greek actually says to the age. Hallelujah. To all eternity. Amen. Look at Romans chapter 11, verse 29. Romans chapter 11, verse 29. It says, for the gift and the callings of God are what? Irrevocable. Hallelujah. Amen. Irrevocable means he doesn't change his mind. Okay? So when he gives you the gift, when he gives you his Spirit, he lasts forever. Hallelujah. Okay, so a man who believes in the gospel of Christ receives the indwelling of the Spirit, okay? And that Spirit came into him forever. And like we said, that Spirit formed a union. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17, it says that, for whoever is joined to the Lord is what? One Spirit with him. Hallelujah. Say, I'm one Spirit with him. Say, I'm one Spirit with him. Say, I'm one Spirit with him. Hallelujah. You know what one Spirit means? One Spirit means that you now have his ability. Amen. One Spirit means you now have his characteristic, okay? Look at this way. The Spirit of Christ came. You know, man has a spirit, right? James 2 tells us that. It says for us, the body without the Spirit is dead. So also faith without works is dead. Man has a spirit, right? Now, at salvation, the gospel is presented to a man, okay? Now, what happens when the gospel is presented to the man? The man puts faith, right? He believes in that message. We can call it the obedience of faith, right? Okay? Now, when that happens, what is the next step? Okay? What happens? The Spirit of Christ now comes, okay? And indwells that man. Like I told you, so there is a spirit in man, right? The Spirit of God now comes and indwells that man. But observe that there are no two spirits in that man. That's what 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17 is telling us, okay? He that is joined to the Lord is what? One Spirit. Are you seeing this? So it's not like you are, like I used to say, tenants. So the Spirit of God is here, then you are here. No. Amen. The Spirit of God came, and when he came, he formed a union with you. Hallelujah. You know, in Ephesians 5, Paul used the imagery of a husband and a wife to describe this union, okay? You know, that's why in Genesis, he says that what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Remember, the Old Testament portion of the Bible is called a mystery, right? Ephesians 3, 1 to 3, right? So, in the New Testament is the revelation of the mystery, okay? So, when in the Old Testament, Moses said, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Okay, he was actually speaking figuratively concerning salvation. Are you following this? Okay, so what we have with men, with man, a man and his wife, is a union of the flesh, right? But he used that figuratively to speak of the union in the spirit. Are you seeing that? The union in the spirit will be what? Salvation. Are you seeing this? Between God and man. So God's marriage is in Christ. Are you following this? God's marriage is in Christ. Moses used Adam and Eve as metaphors, okay? Figures of speech, figurative expressions. We can call them typologies to speak concerning the reality. Where's the reality found? In the New Testament. Hallelujah. So the reality is God indwelling man and becoming one with that man forever. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's a union. A union of beings. Hallelujah. Amen. In Christ. So like we said, when that spirit came, he didn't just come empty-handed, okay? He came with his abilities. Look at Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, chapter 3. Ephesians 1, chapter 3. It says, blessed, hallelujah, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the word blessed there means to speak well of. Are you saying that? Okay? So we can say it this way. We speak well of. We speak well of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, okay, who has spoken well of us. Are you saying that? With every good speaking, hallelujah, with every good praise, adulation in the heavenly in Christ Jesus, okay? So in Christ Jesus, God has spoken well of us, hallelujah, amen. Say in Christ Jesus, God has spoken well of me. In Christ Jesus, God has spoken well of me, hallelujah. Amen. Now, what are these blessings? Okay, that's what it means. Okay, to speak well of. What are these blessings? In the same chapter, Paul lets you know. He lists it down from chapter 4, thereabout, down to verse 4, thereabout, down to verse 23. Okay, now you observe. Now, look at verse 19. That's our focus for this teaching. Verse 19. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power, okay, in us who believe, right? According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ, right? When he raised him from the dead, right? And seated him at his right hand in heavenly, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named. Hallelujah. So, one of the blessings that we received in Christ is power. Are you seeing this? Are you seeing this? One of the blessings, remember it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? Who has blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing, hallelujah, in the heavenly in Christ Jesus. One of these blessings is power. Amen. Philemon 1:6, it says that the communication of your faith may be made effective. What, how? By the acknowledgement of what? Every good thing, hallelujah, that is in you in Christ Jesus. So there are several good things in you in Christ Jesus. Are you seeing that? The word in Christ means in union with Christ. Okay, so by virtue of that union with Christ, there are now good things resident within you. Hallelujah. Amen. And one of those things is power. Now let's look at verse 19 again. Ephesians 1. He says, what is the exceeding? The word exceeding there in the Greek is the word hyperbalo. H-U-P-E-R-B-A-L-L-O. Hyperbalo. It means that which transcends, that which surpasses, that which exceeds. Are you following this? Are you following this? That which goes beyond what is required. That is the word used there. Hyperbalo, okay? So he says, what is the exceeding greatness? The word greatness there in the Greek is the word megatos. M-E-G-E-T-H-O-S. M-E-G-E-T-H-O-S. That's the word greatness in the Greek. It means greatness, vastness, magnitude. Hallelujah. Now it says of his power. The word power there in the Greek is the word dunamis. D-U-N-A-M-I-S. D-U-N-A-M-I-S. That's the word that means explosive force. Where you get the English word dynamite. Are you saying that? Okay. Explosive force. Okay. Might, ability, energy. Hallelujah. Amen. Then it says, toward us who believe. And I explained to you that that word towards in the Greek is the word eis, E-I-S, which is actually the word in. Right? So the exceeding greatness of power in us who believe. Okay? So it's not toward us. You know, toward us would seem like the Old Testament. Right? Right? Remember, the power would be around them. Right? You know, they can even use the power, but it was never in them. Are you following that? That is where the New Testament differs. Are you following this? In the New Testament, the power of God, the exceeding greatness of his power is now resident where? In the believer. Hallelujah. Amen. So it says, according to the working, the word working there is the word energia. Okay? E-N-E-R-G-E-I-A. Energia, which means operation, strength, effectual working. Okay? Of his mighty power. Mighty there is kratos, which means vigorous or mighty. Vigorous or mighty. Then the word power in the Greek is the word ischus. I-S-C-H-U-S, which means power that can overcome immediate resistance. Hallelujah. Now look at all these words. Count how many words he uses to describe the power that is now resident in you today. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. And Bible scholars tell us that in the entire Bible, both New Testament and New Testament, Old Testament and New Testament combined, there is no place where the word power appears like this in the entire Bible. It's like Paul used every word he could find for power to describe this power. Amen. This is the power that God used in raising Jesus from the dead, right? Okay. And that power is now where in you today. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So the power of God. The power of God. Come on. Is in me now. The exceeding greatness of his power is in me now. It is working now. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Look at Mark 16. Mark chapter 16 verse 17. Mark chapter 16 verse 17. It says, and these signs, okay, will follow those who believe. Hallelujah. The word signs there in the Greek is the word semion. S-E-M-E-I-O-N. S-E-M-E-I-O-N. It means supernatural indications. Are you following this? Supernatural indications. So he's saying these supernatural indications will follow those who believe. Hallelujah. Do you observe that? It doesn't say these supernatural indications will follow pastors. Are you seeing that? It doesn't say these supernatural indications will follow evangelists. Amen. It doesn't say these supernatural indications will follow those who fast and pray 40 days and 40 nights. Do you know we fast and pray? Do we fast and pray? In fact, we are fasting right now, right? But it tells you that it's for who? Those who believe. Hallelujah. So that means the believer, who a person who just puts faith in the gospel now. Okay? These signs begin to follow him. He doesn't have to wait for 20 years, 30 years, 50 years. Does he? You know, let me say something about these abilities. You don't grow into it. Are you following this? You know, I know in the world there is such a thing as you grow into things. You know, a child is born into a billionaire's family, but his father tells him that, well, okay, you have, you know, my entire property is yours, but you know, I'm not going to give you my car, right? He's 5 years old. I'm not going to give you my Bugatti to use. Till you grow to a certain stage, right? Then you can now, you are mature enough, you can say that, okay, to be able to use my car. But for the things of God, okay, the fruit, the gifts of the Spirit, the signs that follow us, you don't grow into them. Are you following this? Are you following this? Immediately you put faith in the gospel, that power became resident in you and started working. Are you following this? Are you following this? You know, there's a story of a 7-year-old boy that, you know, got saved. And after he got saved, the preacher told him that, okay, you know, now that you're saved, these signs follow those who believe in his name. They will cast out demons. They will heal the sick. And the boy said, oh, you mean that right now I can heal the sick? Say, yes, you can heal the sick. Then he went to a hospital, this 7-year-old boy, and he closed the hospital down in a few hours. Hallelujah. You know what he did? He healed all the sick people there. 7-year-old. You know, nobody told him that you need to fast and pray. Do you understand? No one lied to him. No one told him that you grow into ability. Say, oh, you know, there are some gifts you cannot access. See, there is a dimension in the Holy Ghost. You know, all those funny things we say. Nothing like that. Hallelujah. Immediately you are born again, you can flow in the gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. The gifts are now resident in you. Those who believe. Is there anyone like that here? Is there anyone like that here? Okay, so all the signs are where? In you now. Hallelujah. Walking now. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So it says, we follow those who believe in my name. Name there is authority, okay? They will cast out demons. Say, cast out demons. Say, I cast out demons. Hallelujah. It says, they will speak with new tongues. Say, I speak with new tongues. Say, I speak with new tongues. Say, I speak with new tongues. It says, they will take up serpents. Now, take up serpents there is a figurative expression. Okay? In the Bible, serpents is used for the works of darkness. Okay? You see that in Genesis chapter 3, it says that the devil came to Eve, right? In form of the serpent, okay? So, in the Bible, when you see serpent, most times, now, not every time, okay? But most times, it's used for the works of darkness. Are you following this? Are you following this? Okay. So when he says they will take up serpents, he's saying they will go after the works of darkness. Hallelujah. Amen. So the one who puts faith in Christ now has ability over the works of darkness. That's what Jesus Christ is saying here. Hallelujah. He says, if they drink anything daily, you will by no means hurt them. He says, they will lay hands on the sick. Hallelujah. And they will recover. Who will recover? The sick, right? Okay, very important to make that clear, okay? The sick will recover. So, when a man puts faith in the gospel, he can now lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. Just like in the Old Testament. But remember, what we have now in the New Testament differs, okay? We have something better. Are you following this? It's not like the Old Testament when the Spirit of God will come on a prophet momentarily, okay? Then afterward, he would leave. Okay, what we now have is 24 hours access to the power of God. Hallelujah. We now have 24 hours. Say, I have 24 hours access to the power of God. Every time. Hallelujah. So he's here now. Okay, and that is why you see that in the book of Acts. You see that they began to heal the sick. Look at Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 verse 6. Acts chapter 3 verse 6. He says, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I love the way the Greek puts it. The Greek says, silver and gold do not exist as mine, but what exists as mine I give you. Hallelujah. Do you hear what I just said? It says, silver and gold, that's how the Greek says it. It says, it doesn't exist as mine. Okay, it's not available with me, but what is available to me? What is available with me? What is that? The power of God. The authority of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. The name of Jesus. He says, what is with me, I give you. So you see, you can give it. Hallelujah. Amen. You can give it. You can dispense it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It's working in you now. He says, then he took him by the right hand. Hallelujah. Okay. Can you say, laid his hands on him? Okay. And lifted him up. And immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength. Hallelujah. Amen. So he lays hands on him and he was healed. Look at Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28, verse 8. He says, and it happened, Acts chapter 28, verse 8. He says, and it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him. Do you see that? And healed him. Okay? So Paul laid his hands on him and he was healed. Now, not only that, you see in Acts chapter 8, please turn there, verse 14. Acts chapter 8 verse 14. He says, and when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, verse 15, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they may receive the Holy Spirit. Do you see that? Now, in the book of Acts, anytime you see receive the Holy Spirit, it refers to tongues. Okay? Because, you know, these guys were already saved. When you are saved, what happens? You receive the Spirit. So you cannot say receive the Spirit again. So, receive the Spirit, that phrase in the book of Acts was used for tongues and interpretation of tongues, which is what? Prophecy. Are you following this? Are you following this? Okay? It says, verse 16, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. Then he goes on, he says, they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 17, then they laid hands on them. Do you see that? And they what? They received the Holy Spirit, that is, they spoke in tongues. Are you seeing that? So, through the laying of hands, men receive the infilling of the Spirit. Hallelujah. You see again in Acts chapter 9, verse 17. Acts chapter 9, verse 17. It says, and Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight. Do you see that? And be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, they fell from his eyes, something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he rose up and was baptized. Do you see that? Verse 17 says, he laid his hands on him. Do you see that? Do you see that? Look at Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, verse 6. Are you there so far? Acts chapter 19, verse 6. He says, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues. Do you see that? Do you see that? Can you say they received the Holy Spirit? Okay? And prophesied. Now, the men were about 12 in number. So, Paul actually laid hands on them, okay? So that they could receive the gift of tongues, amen, and prophecy. Now, what do you mean receive? What do we mean by receive? Remember, we've seen that Jesus Christ said in Mark chapter 16, 15 down to verse 17, that a man who believes in the gospel will speak in tongues. Right? So what does it mean by receive? Is it that when you are born again, you don't really receive tongues, but you know, you, I'm trying to find a way I can explain it out, you know, but when hands are now laid on you, you know, you will now somehow get the spirit or something, or you will now start speaking in tongues. What exactly does it mean, receive the Holy Spirit? Amen? Or receive tongues. Now, this is what it means. The gift is in you already. But you know that not every believer can speak in tongues. According to Mark 16, it's clear. Right? Every believer can speak in tongues. Every believer should speak in tongues. Okay? But we see today, does every believer speak in tongues? Huh? So what can we say about such a person? The gift is in him, right? But we can call it dormant. Okay? He's in him, but he's not really making good use of it as he should. Amen? So, that's what it means when he says hands were laid and someone received the Spirit. He's not giving him the Spirit. Okay? He's making that, you now, the laying on of hands does this. It helps that person to now take from what is already resident within him to use. Are you following that? So, he doesn't give him anything. Are you following this? When it comes to tongues, okay, let me specify. When it comes to tongues, it doesn't, when you lay hands on someone who doesn't speak in tongues and the person starts speaking in tongues, the person didn't receive that gift at that point. The person could always speak in tongues. But for that particular gift, it has been in him dormant, okay? But by laying hands on him, you can say, I don't want to use the word activate because it has been misused, you know, in recent times. But you can say you've jump-started something in him, amen? Okay? You've now, it's like water that is there, but it's cold. Okay, then you now set it on fire. You know, the water has always been there. You now cause it to boil. Hallelujah. Are you following this? Okay, and that's why in 1 Timothy 4, verse 14. 1 Timothy 4, verse 14. So can we say that when hands are laid, you can jumpstart dormant gifts? Huh? Can we say when hands are laid, you can also give someone what he never had before? Joshua, right? Joshua and Moses, right? So, it can work two ways. You can either jumpstart something that has been there but has not been used, or you can give somebody something that has never been there before. Are you following this? Okay? And that's why in 1 Timothy chapter 4, reading from verse 14, it says, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy and the laying of hands of the eldership. Do you see that? It says, do not neglect the gift. The word neglect there in the Greek is the word ameleo. A-M-E-L-E-O. A-M-E-L-E-O. The last O is accentuated. Now, it's a compound word. Now, two words came together to form this word. The word A, which is Alpha. Okay, which means not. That's A, right? Which means not. And the word Melo, M-E-L-O, which means to have concern or to be affected. To have concern or to be affected. So, when you put that together, neglect will mean you don't have concern for something. Okay? Or you don't care about it. Okay, so it refers to that action of teaching, of treating a thing without concern, okay, or viewing it as without significance, without value, okay. So Paul is telling Timothy that something valuable is in you, and never forget that valuable thing which is in you, okay. Don't treat it lightly, don't disregard it. Are you seeing this? He calls this valuable thing a gift. The word gift in the Greek is the word charisma, C-H-A-R-I-S-M-A. C-H-A-R-I-S-M-A, that's what gift. It refers to a supernatural endowment or miraculous faculty. A supernatural endowment or miraculous faculty. So it's tangible. Paul is telling Timothy that when hands were laid on you, okay, something tangible actually came into you. Something supernatural came into you. You know, Timothy was the pastor to the churches at Ephesus. And you know, to occupy that role, Timothy needed supernatural enablement. Amen? So hands were actually laid on Timothy for that function. Okay, so Paul tells him that when hands were laid on you, don't think that nothing happened, okay? Don't think it was something just there, okay? Something valuable was actually given to you. He calls it a gift. Hallelujah. Amen? So when hands are laid, that can happen. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 11. Romans chapter 1, verse 11. Romans chapter 1, verse 11. It says, for I long to see you, that I might impart to you. Do you see that? and my word impart to you some spiritual gift. Do you see that? So that you may be established. Do you see that? That is, I may be encouraged with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, Paul says he wishes he could, you know, see the church at Rome, the Roman church, so that he could impart to them some spiritual gift. Now, how would that happen? Via what? The laying on of hands. Are you seeing that? Okay. Now, you see also in the book of Acts that the laying on of hands was also used for ordination of ministry gifts. What we call apostle, prophet, pastoral teacher and evangelist, okay? The laying on of hands was also used for that ministry. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. It says, now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manahen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work, do you see that, in which I have called them. Verse 3 says, then having fasted and prayed, they did what? They laid hands on them. Do you see that? And they sent them away. So you see, people were supposed to be appointed into ministry gifts, into offices in the body of Christ, and hands were laid on them. Do you see that again? Look at Acts 6, verse 3. Acts chapter 6, verse 3. It says, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Verse 4 says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Verse 5 says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timothy, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. Verse 6 says, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, laid hands on them. Do you see that? Do you see that? So again, we see people wanted to appoint people here into offices of deacons. Okay? And hands were laid on them. And it's because of this that Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 5 verse 11. He says, do not lay hands on anyone hastily. Okay? Do not lay hands on anyone hastily. Now, there's a way that text has been interpreted. Have you heard someone say that don't lay hands on anyone hastily because the person might have a demon? So if you lay hands on him, you can get the person's demon. Have you heard that before? Come on, have you heard that before? Oh, you've not. You've heard it before. Okay. So he said, that is why Paul told Timothy, do not lay hands on anyone hurriedly. Because, you know, you have to first discern. If this person has a demon, the demon can leave him and jump into you. So to lay hands on someone was very scary back in those days. He said, be careful. Don't lay hands on someone. Because if a person has a demon or if a person has an evil spirit, the demon will not start following you to know. Remember, we've seen that laying on of hands was used for what? Leadership. Okay, so when they wanted to appoint leaders, hands were laid. So what does it mean when it says do not lay hands on anyone instantly? Simple. Don't hurriedly put anyone into positions of authority in the church. Okay, you know, Paul says something similar to that in 1 Timothy 3 verse 6. He says, do not be quick to appoint a novice. A novice is someone who is a new Christian. Do you understand? You know, that's not how you pick leaders. You pick leaders, you look at someone over the years. You look, has this person proven faithful over the years? After this person has proved faithful, this is the person we now pick for leadership. Do you understand that? So that's what Paul says when he says, do not hurriedly lay hands on anyone. Exactly. Referring to leadership, okay? Thank you very much. Now, having seen the ministry of laying on of hands, we've seen all of this. Can we say that this ministry is something powerful? Can we say it's something everyone should desire? Can we say it's something that, you know, when you hear that pastor is going to lay hands in church, you should say, hey! Immediately you should get ready, right? You should start praying, oh my God, I'm going to receive, right? Now, the next question we're going to ask is, how do I receive from the ministry of the laying on of hands? We've seen that the ministry of the laying on of hands is powerful, right? There is no problem with that ministry. There is no problem with power as well. Remember, Ephesians 1 verse 19, all the power of God is resident in you now, right? The power, you know, as we are gathered here, do you know the power of God is here? Do you know mightily? You know, some people don't believe that they see somebody falling down. No, we say it, but most times we don't believe it. You know, we say, the power of God is here. The power of God is here. We are in our confession. But in their mind, I say, till the preacher says, take it. Then everybody falls. Ah, power of God is here. They quickly comport. You are carnal. Amen. You are carnal. You know, blessed are those who don't see and yet believe. Amen. So, you know, so the power of God is here. Now, how do we receive of the power of God in our midst? How do we receive of the power of God? You know, it's a different thing for you to be here. You know, it's here now. Now, how do we receive from it? The first thing is your expectation. Your expectation. Your expectation. Are you expectant? You know, some people come to church like they are coming to a nightclub. They come to church like they are going to the cinema. Church is by 12, okay? And you see a believer sleep till 12:45. Then the alarm rings. He quickly stands up. Okay, he quickly takes his bath, rushes down to church. He hasn't prepared anything, you know, no expectations. He doesn't care. He just, we shall be blessed, sha. You will never be blessed like that. A believer, at least 2 hours before the service, you are already praying. That's what we do. Amen. You know, that's what we do. Your expectations. Oh my God, in this video I'm going to be blessed. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Your expectations draw the power of God toward you. Look at the woman with the issue of blood. Jesus Christ was going to heal, raise Jairus' daughter, right? It was, we can say the power of God was going towards his direction. Okay, towards Jairus' house. Now, this woman came behind. The Bible says she said to herself that if I might touch only the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Now, you know, the Greek actually says she kept saying to herself. So it wasn't a one-time saying. It's not that she just said, oh, if I touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. Then she went and she told you. No. She had been saying it. She had been building her expectations before the meeting. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So when she got there and she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, Jesus did not even want to heal her. Do you understand that? The power of God it was not looking at her direction, but her expectation drew the power of God back. Just gonna say, who touched me? Hallelujah. Amen. So your expectations does that. Your expectation is actually a product of your faith. Okay? It pulls the power of God to you. Now, Kenneth E. Hagin told us a very beautiful story that I always give anytime I talk about expectations. You know, he talked about a man who was always coming for their meetings, okay? He was always coming for their meetings to get healed. He was paralyzed, okay? But he never seemed to get healed. To the extent that Kenneth Hagin got tired of him. Have you seen people like that before? You are tired. No, this person will never fall down under the power of God. Pastors don't understand what I'm saying. You say, ha, this person again. You say, come, let me share those lines. And you know you will not fall, but... You know, Zan, that is the way that guy was to Kenneth Hagin. You know, he was always coming, but he was never healed. Okay? Then one day, there was a series of meetings. Then in the last day of the meeting, the guy just showed up in the meeting before the meeting began. Okay? It was in the meeting, I think he said, it was there in the earlier part of the morning, in around 4, 3 a.m. Okay? Then he just stayed. In fact, the person who was going to open the door met him there. Then he said, what are you doing here? I mean, the meeting doesn't start for hours later. And he said, okay, well, today, Kenneth Hagin is going to lay hands on me. And when he lays hands on me, I'm going to be healed. Okay? So, what changed? Expectation. Do you understand that? Maybe, we don't know, probably the previous times he has been coming, probably he just felt, you know, like this guy. Let's just lay hands on you. Do you understand? But this time, he said, today, he's going to lay hands on me and I'm going to be healed. Okay? So, Kenneth Hagin came. As usual, I said, oh my God, come. Is that laying hands on him is like a doorknob. That's what they called him. Is it like this door? The doorknob. That's laying hands, sir. So he laid hands on him, expecting nothing to happen. And all of a sudden, the guy went down without the power of God. And interestingly, the guy stayed on the air. You didn't hear what I just said? The guy stayed on the air for a few seconds. Then he rolled to the ground and he got up healed. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen? Expectation. That's what changed. You cannot afford to come to service lackadaisically. I used to tell you, just come. When you hear Sunday, oh my good God, on Sunday my life is going to change. On Sunday my life is never going to remain the same. You know, you speak God's word as you are coming to the service. That's how you receive. Hallelujah. You know, if you don't come like that, you won't receive anything. Remember, there is nothing wrong with the power of God. Amen. God always wants to give. He is a liberal God. James 1:5 tells us that. He says he gives liberally and he upbraids not. Okay? But what will now differentiate between, so that means we can be in a meeting with 10 people, okay, and in that meeting of 10 people, only one person will be blessed because of his expectations. Are you following this? So what will happen to the rest of the 10 people? They might not be blessed. And we can be in a meeting where everybody is blessed. There doesn't have to be one person that will not be blessed. What do we need? Your expectations. Hallelujah. Amen. So your expectations. Now, secondly, how do I receive from the power of God? Honor the minister. Honor the minister. Some people forget that, you know. Some people forget that God actually uses men to bless us. They forget that. You know, for some, they are sick in their bodies, and the person who will heal them is their younger brother. They don't know. It's their younger brother. But because they say, I baited you when you were small. Come on. Say, you that used to come to me and cry, hey, sister. And I was helping you. You understand? You know, for some, is their son. Say, I gave birth to you. You want to pray for me. Do you understand? Let me say this. People who talk like that and think that they are not wise. They are not wise. You know what is going to happen? People outside will keep getting blessed by your family members, but you will die in your sickness. It's not a curse. You will actually die in that sickness because the healing that you need is in your house. But you are looking at that. I know such people, interestingly, when they go outside, they honor ministers outside. Have you seen that before? You know, your brother is a pastor. You won't honor your brother. That one, because you see him every day. But the one outside, in fact, that's for family and for some people, is even in church. Some people tend to honor ministers outside more than their pastors. Amen. You come to church, say, this one, you see every day, see finish. I used to see this one every day. I used to see this one every day. So it cannot really bless me. But one man of God outside, this one is going to bless me. It's not wise. Amen. It's not wise. A way to receive from the power of God is to honor the minister. This honor will rob you of the power of God. In Mark chapter 6, verse 1 to 6, you know, some people think that Jesus always healed the sick. You know, everywhere Jesus Christ went to, the sick was always getting it. That's not true. Do you know that there was a story in the Bible when Jesus Christ laid hands on a blind person and the blind person's eyes did not open? Have you seen that before in your Bible? Do you know there was a story in the Bible where Jesus Christ laid hands on the lame person and the lame person said, leg is still like that too. Nothing happened. Jesus Christ put his hands on a demoniac and the demon remained. Mark 6, 1 to 6. He says he could do no mighty works there. What happened? He went to his hometown. Because the ending is, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? We out of Yoruba, we say, you know, some people, you're not wise. Somebody is going around blessing people. He came to his hometown. It's not good to say, come, bless him. They dishonored him. And because of that, he could do no mighty works there. So what will dishonor do? Dishonor will stifle the power of God from getting to you. It will literally, it's like you are blocking the pipe. It will never get to you. That's what happens with dishonor. Say, I choose to honor. Say, I choose to honor. Come on. Say, I choose to honor. Say, I choose to honor. Hallelujah. You must honor the ministers that God has placed over you to bless you. I remember in one of our Soteria meetings, I went towards a sister, okay, and I laid hands on her. I know the power of God came upon her strongly and all of that. Then after the meeting, she came to meet me and she was saying, sir, I'm so happy. And I was wondering, what's going on? Then she was telling me, sir, I'm so happy. Thank you laid hands on me and all of that. I said, well, I laid hands on everybody in the meeting. So it was so interesting. Then she told me something that really struck me. She said that she lifted up her hands, okay, expecting to receive. And just before I laid hands on her, she said she actually saw Jesus in the meeting coming toward her. Putting his hand on her exactly where I laid my hands on her. Okay? And the power of God came upon her. What is the moral in that story? Some people are expecting Jesus to come from the sky to bless them. But Jesus is the minister. Are you following this? Where is Jesus going to walk? You're the minister. So the minister is actually the Jesus in the service. But some people don't know that. That's why people don't receive in the meeting. They are expecting some mighty to see Jesus literally in the meeting. No! Jesus is in the minister already, right? Right? His power is in the minister already, right? So what should you do? Honor the minister like you would honor Jesus if Jesus was in front of you. That's how honor works. Hallelujah! That's how to receive. Amen? Are you following so far? Okay, what else? Number three, receive instructions. In the ministry of laying on of hands, you know, for some ministers will say, close your eyes, close your eyes. Some ministers will say, lift your hands, lift your hands. You know, it's not going to remove anything out of you. Some ministers will say, be on your feet, be on your feet. Amen. Some ministers will say, nobody should talk in this meeting right now. Just keep quiet. Amen. Okay, those instructions are actually to help you to receive more. Okay, so the way you receive more from the ministry of laying on of hands is obey instructions. Okay, receive instructions. And then another thing again is avoid distractions. Avoid distractions. Some people are very funny. Hands are being laid and they are looking around. Say, hey, Tunde has fallen. Hey, Tunde, hey. Ah, Sister Shola has fallen. Ah. Close your eye. What you, what's your problem? I mean, be say, okay, my sister has fallen. My God, my time is coming soon. My time is coming. That's what you should be talking. That's what you should be doing. But you'll be looking, see the way Shola is shouting on the floor. Hey, you're not serious, so that's how you don't receive in the meeting. That's how you don't receive. Amen. So don't be distracted, okay? Amen. And another thing, number five, know beforehand what to expect. Okay? Know beforehand what to expect when hands are laid on you. Some people don't know. So sometimes it takes them by surprise. You know, when hands are laid on you, you know, the power of God is very tangible. You don't mean of tangible. Tangible means it can be felt. Do you understand? It's like, you know, this thing is tangible. You can put your hand on this and you will feel that this is, I'm touching something. That's the power of God. You know, for several people, some people have said for them it felt like fire when hands were laid on them. Some people have said for them it felt like electricity. Okay? But people have said it felt like a cool breeze. Okay? Different manifestations, but what is the same power of God? So expect it, okay? Actually expect that when hands are laid on me, I should feel something. Do you understand? Don't just, let me just stand, shall? You know, don't be like a dicycle. Expect that, okay, hands are being laid on me now. I should feel something, okay? The power of God is flowing through me. I believe that this man of God is anointed by the power of God to bless me, right? Okay? So when hands are laid on me, I should be able to. And let me say something as well that, looking at distractions. Distractions. Okay, let me save that for the next thing I'm going to say. Now, the next thing I'm going to say is, the next point is actually receive. Okay, actually receive. When hands are laid on people, okay, do you observe that? And I was watching Kenneth Hagin's videos, okay, and he's a man I really love and respect. Amen. He's so. Wonderful that he combined the word and spirit in a way that people had not done for years. Do you understand? You know, we have ministers who are very strong on the power of God, very strong, but when it comes to the word, zero. Amen. It's the truth. You have some ministers who are very strong in the word, but they sideline the things of the spirit. Say, well, the things of the spirit are not really, it's the word alone. Do you understand? But Kenneth Hagin found a way of combining the two together. You know, he's such a wonderful man, Kenneth E. Hagin. You know, such, he's a sage. Amen. He's somebody I respect a lot, a whole lot. You know, and I watch his videos, and I see in his videos, you know, he will just go on YouTube. You see them, Kenneth Hagin laughing in the Holy Ghost. You know, and he will do his hands like this, and there are about 50 people here. Only now, okay, out of 50 people, 30 people will fall. And 20 people will be standing. Why? I used to ask myself, why? Why? Can't you do your hand like this? Everybody is going to fall. Look at him. If you were in this place and the power of God hit her, that means it can hit you. Do you understand what I'm saying? If the power of God hits Sister Tofumi at the back, that means it can hit Bro Gideon here. So what is your own problem that the power of God did not hit you? Do you understand? That's what I used to think when I watched the videos. I said, what is wrong with these people? I remember I saw one. People were rejoicing on the Holy Ghost. And he was just looking. I mean, you were in Kenneth Hagin's meeting. You know, we are praying to God. If only we could go back then and be in the meetings, you know, be in his meetings. You were in the meeting. You saw everything. And you are just looking. What is going on here? What is going on here? So, actually receive. That's the point. You know, some people, why they don't fall under the power of God is because they've conditioned their mind to say, I will never fall. That's true. Right? Say, I will never fall. Nothing will ever move. Pastors just push people. I've heard that before.
The pastors push people. So for me, I will never, for any pastor, no pastor will ever push me. Can you imagine? Who are you fighting? Is it the pastor of the Holy Ghost or the power of God? Which one? I don't know. What's your problem? Say, I will never fall. So you will never fall. Those who want to fall, they will fall. Now let me tell you how the people fall on the power of God. It's 50-50. 50% the power of God, 50% your desire. If you want to fall, you will fall. If you don't want to fall, you will not. For some people, you say, this ground is dirty. I don't want this dirty blood to dirty my clothes. You are not ready to be blessed. You're not ready to. I've been in meetings where they had to carry me out. They carried me out of the meeting. I could not walk home on the ground. You are saying, my clothes is fine. My God, I don't want. They carried me out. I was there on the ground. We're just laughing for hours. So don't put any limitation. You know, if your limitation is my clothes is fine, so I'm not going to fall. You've put that limitation around the power of God. Do you understand what I just said? If your point is I might fall and hit my head, so your mind is like, we keep telling you, when as a billion, I will fall at my head, so I'm not going to fall. Don't fall. You won't fall under the power of God. What makes people to fall under the power of God? Number one, the power of God is actually tangible. It can cause you to fall on the ground. I'm telling you from both God's word and experience. The power of God can cause you to remain on the floor for hours. I mean hours. You will just be there. Amen? Okay? And your will as well is also involved. So you can choose to fall. There's nothing spiritual about, you know, that. Okay, well, the power of God is working there. But, you know, your will as well. There's nothing spiritual about your will. Amen? Your will is your will. You can say, I will fall, I will not fall. And you know, for us today, you know, right now we have catchers. Amen. In church, we have ushers. So you don't have to be scared anymore. You know, it was back in the days that people would be scared to fall under the power of God because they would say things like, if I fall, Mama Baolimi, how do you say it in Yoruba? Mama Baolimi, I will break my head. So I don't want to break my head. So let me just stand. But now we have catchers. So there's nothing to be scared of, right? No, someone will be behind you. The hands are laid on you. You fall down, they hold you, right? Place you gently. Now, for ladies, most times they get scarves for meetings, right? And then they place it on their legs so that, you know, if someone is rolling on the floor and anything like that, you know, they are covered. Amen? So, having seen all of this, the ministry of laying hands is real. Okay? It's still working today. Amen? God is still blessing people through this ministry. Your life, I used to tell people, things that will change your life, you know, things that are supposed to take you 10 years to do can be settled in 1 minute through the ministry of the laying on of hands. Are you following what I'm saying? Your life can change. I mean literally change. I'm telling you from experience. I remember in a few years back, I was in a meeting and the minister called me and he laid hands on me. I know I've never felt the power of God like that before in my life. Before that meeting, he laid his hands on me and he said, from today onward, ministry has been committed to you. You will serve the Lord. Amen. And I went back and I started seeing crazy things happening in our meetings. I remember there was someone whose call broke and we laid hands on him and the thing joined back together. Amen. Through the power of God. So the power of God is real, and that happened. I observed that didn't happen till hands were laid on me. There was another time, you know, some people say they talk about this ministry and they are grateful for our teaching ministry, and I'm grateful to God as well. You know, our teaching ministry has blessed thousands all around the world, and I'm grateful. Amen. But I always link it back to a particular experience I had back then. I think I can't remember many years now. You know, there was a minister I knew who. It was the first person I ever saw use Greek and Hebrew words to teach the Bible. Okay? He taught the Bible in such a way. I just knew that. You know, when you are hearing jargons very well, and you start hearing something that is close to food, you know, you say, okay, this is different. So every time he comes up to preach, I just observe that. There's something different about how this particular man preaches. There were pastors in the church, but this particular man, there's something different about him. Okay, so his teaching ministry was very beautiful to me. So I just went to meet him one day and I said, sir, please, can you just lay hands on me? Please just lay hands on me. I just want my teaching ministry to bless people like the way your teaching ministry has blessed me. And I can still see the day in my head. It was in the night, it was dark, and he just put his hands on me and he prayed for me. Amen. And since then, we've been having, you know, the testimonies we've been having of people being blessed by our teaching, our books, our articles, and everything. I can trace it back to that man. Now, I still have a relationship with him. Okay? He probably can't even remember. But I remember. that immediately this pastor put his hands on me, something changed about how I teach God's word. So it can happen. Just think about it. What do you desire that the power of God cannot do? What do you desire? Amen. Do you want you've laid hands on the sick and the sick didn't recover. You felt bad. Amen. You know the power of God can change that today. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. You know, you've always wanted to preach God's word well, but you do something every time you are preaching, people are just sleeping. So what is wrong? Is there something wrong with me? It can change today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, honor has not been on your ministry. You just observe that people don't really honor your ministry like that. People don't really count you as much. You can't change that today by your desire. Now, in this meeting, hands will be laid. Okay? And I want you to do something now. You'll be on your feet. Okay? And I want you to put two things that you want. Okay? One for your physical life. Okay? And one for your ministry. Is that clear? One for your physical life. You know, it could be for your academics, your